Welcome to Marketing with Walker and Grimm, the show about marketing and advertising specifically targeted for those of us in central Pennsylvania. I'm John Walker, and when I'm not doing podcasts, I serve as the digital marketing director at LMP Media Group.
And I'm Marcus Grimm, vice president of marketing and innovation at Benchmark Construction. And wow, John, what a good lineup we've got today.
Absolutely.
Tell me who we got.
All right. Well, I am very excited to introduce our guest.
Oh, I am too. You said our guest is going to be Ben Franklin today. And that's kind of crazy because he's been dead for several hundred years, John.
Marcus, as usual, I think you're not listening carefully to what we've been talking about. Our guest is Ben Franklin, but it's Ben Franklin Technology Partners. It's not the Ben Franklin you were thinking of.
Aha.
But we'll be speaking with Steve Faithful, who's a director of business development and portfolio management for Central and Northern Pennsylvania. And plus we have John Sider, who is the director of Second Stage Capital.
Now I know where
I've
heard. Yeah. Ben Franklin, the technology guys, the ones who fund the new technology startups. But you know, it's interesting, John, because I always feel like Ben Franklin Technology Partners is they're kind of like a Batman here in Lancaster, because like I feel like their name just comes up every now and then, and like there's a lot of people don't know exactly what they do, but suddenly you'll see a really cool contest in the newspaper, they're associated with that, some local startup gets funding and they're associated with that, and then they just fly away, John. So we got them here. How about that?
I know. Big time. So, hey, how about we have them introduce themselves and also what Ben Franklin Technology Partner does? Steve, you want to start it off?
Sure. Thanks for letting us be here. And I hope we don't disappoint that we're not the actual Ben Franklin, but it is good to be here.
So I am actually Batman.
Oh, you are.
See, okay. That's what I was going for. That's
So I'm Steve Faithful. Like you said, I'm the director of business development and portfolio manager for Ben Franklin Technology Partners of Central and Northern Pennsylvania. And I spend my day really looking for entrepreneurs and startups so that we can work with them. We can find them funding. We can help mentor them and so on. I'll let John introduce himself.
Yeah, I'm John Sider, as you said, John, director of Second Stage Capital. And what I do is I try to help identify financing sources beyond Ben Franklin. So when our portfolio companies have kind of grown beyond our ability to finance them, my job is to help introduce them to angel and VC investors, maybe banks, government sources of funding, that kind of thing.
Now, that's really interesting. So Second Stage Capital, that's interesting. So you're partnering them up to find additional funds. Two of you right here in Central Pennsylvania. Let's just talk about the startup market right here in Central Pennsylvania. This isn't Silicon Valley, or is it?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the startup market in Lancaster, because we're incredibly excited about Lancaster, and we have Steve Faithful as a huge part of this. We've actually at Ben Franklin made a concerted effort towards Lancaster because of the amount of activity that's happening in Lancaster and the variety of startups. So, Steve, why don't you talk a little bit about, you know, what you're focusing on?
Yeah, sure. And it might be helpful to just give your listeners a little bit about Ben Franklin, because Ben Franklin Technology Partners actually started about 30 years ago. In the early 80s, it was enacted by legislation when Pennsylvania really saw the decline of certain economic areas and conditions within Pennsylvania, like the steel industry. It was in steep decline. And Pennsylvania really said, we need to do something to ensure that from an economic development perspective, from jobs and companies and innovation and technology, that we can do things to retain that here in Pennsylvania. And so the Ben Franklin Technology Partners really was birthed out of that legislation. There are four Ben Franklins across the state. There's one in Philadelphia, there's one in Pittsburgh, there's one in the Northeast in like the Bethlehem area. And then our Ben Franklin, we cover all the way from Lancaster all the way up to the Northwest to Erie and everywhere in between.
All right, so Steve, I tell me that you're going to be funding the next Bethlehem Steel or the next Armstrong World Industries. Is that what you're after?
Well, so those are heavy capital-intensive businesses.
Okay.
And we are more typically in the area of kind of software and other technology types of companies.
We're
called the Ben Franklin Technology Partners, and while everyone, when they think of technology, they think about circuit boards and bubbling beakers, we're looking for really innovative type companies. Now, and I say this, there's plenty of pizza shops and plumbers out there, and I love pizza and I love plumbers, but what we're looking for is those kind of companies that can launch and grow to be really sustainable and really scalable type companies. So the companies that are tech or tech related, maybe have innovative manufacturing. So those are the kinds of things we're looking out for. And we have plenty of those opportunities. Like John said, Lancaster's bubbling with those sort of opportunities.
The word that you guys might be real familiar with is disruptive. If a company we believe could be disruptive to an existing marketplace, to us, that's a growth opportunity.
I think John and I are very familiar with the word disruptive, right?
Yeah, we believe in disruption in all its forms. But why Lancaster? I mean, why this sleepy little, supposedly, central Pennsylvania city? Why is this a hotbed?
Sure. Well, you know, I came to Lancaster about 25 years ago and got involved in a tech startup here in Lancaster many years ago in the early 2000s. And that company, we were able to grow with the help of Ben Franklin as well, in terms of providing us funding. We were able to grow and eventually have a successful exit. That's a great story, but that's just one of many, many stories that are already happening here in Lancaster. Like John said, we're dedicating more and more time, more focus. I happen to live in this area, so I have a special passion for the Lancaster area. And there are a lot of opportunities. I travel the state, John travels the state, and Lancaster is not unknown. Lancaster is known. You go a lot of different places, they'll hear, people will speak of the changes that have been happening in Lancaster. And we all know that food and the arts and community development are all happening really spirited, I mean, real in a real passionate way here in Lancaster, but also this emerging, I'll call it a tech atmosphere, an emerging startup atmosphere is really, I mean, I'd say taking really grip over the past 5 to 10 years. And we really want to capitalize on that because we don't want people to be sitting in their homes having a good idea and not be able to go anywhere with it. And that's really what we get involved with.
Now, one of the things that's interesting, and John, I've already learned something today that I didn't know, which was the idea that Ben Franklin, government, it was legislated by the state government. So the money that you invest then, are those tax dollars? Is it private investment dollars? Or is it true tax dollars that go into these investments?
For the most part, they're state tax dollars. And actually, that governs a lot of how we think about this. Very frugal. One of the reasons that we're probably like Batman and kind of under the radar screen is we don't spend a lot of money marketing ourselves. So we try to keep a lean overhead with the way that we do things. But then we also try to use the vast majority of our money supporting companies, their growth through financing, but then also through the mentoring that folks like Steve and others provide.
And that's the expertise part, right, John?
Yeah, I mean, reading your website, it sounds like you provide both funding and then business and technical expertise. So I get the funding piece, you know, startups need capital, but talk about the business and technical expertise.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, startups need way more than just capital. I think startups need way more mentoring than they do necessarily capital. And a lot of capital can be wasted if you don't have really good sort of help and leadership, et cetera, going as you're building your company. And so Ben Franklin has about, I don't know, 2 to 3 to 4 former CEOs, some of tech companies, some of other companies, some CFOs from Silicon Valley. We have a skilled team that really, when we engage with a company, whether it be for funding purposes, or just to engage with them, we provide that sort of mentoring, that sort of oversight. We have, we can bring accounting resources to bear. We try to connect them with solid marketing teams. And so those are the kinds of things we're doing, not only bringing our own expertise, but also trying to bring resources that can be of assistance to these startup companies. And you guys know, you know, if anything startups need, I mean, there's no shortage of good ideas, but there's, I think, a shortage of knowing how to take that good idea and then market it to the masses or market it to whoever the target is.
But clearly, there must be a lot of people that come to you looking for funding. So what does, you know, how do you make those decisions? Let's walk through it here. So John and I tomorrow are going to launch a podcast, for instance.
The answer
is
no.
A very innovative one.
We've already been turned down. but yeah, walk us through it. You know, what's it look like and what's your criteria look like?
Sure.
Yeah, so, well, it would start with a meeting with one of our portfolio managers like Steve Faithful. And you would probably have met at a networking event, one of the many meetups or tech networking events that happen, or you heard about us. And the first meeting is for Steve to get his arms around what is your business concept, what are you trying to do. We then give a little homework. We have a couple of templates called investment summary, and then also Excel spreadsheet projection templates. So we're trying to get a sense of how you would describe your business and then how would you would project the finances of the business going forward. That is an iterative process between Steve and the entrepreneur, oftentimes. I don't know if you want to add any color to that.
Yeah, sure. You know, when we meet entrepreneurs, and like typical venture capitalists, we're really evaluating, A, what's the abilities of the entrepreneur? I mean, we look at them, and as much as we're going to invest in a company, we're also investing in people. And that's certainly no surprise to the investment community, that we're really trying to understand how much you understand your company. And one of the key things that we really look for, because what John said earlier, and this is unique to Ben Franklin because we are funded mostly by the state, that our primary interest is not a return on our investment. That's not our primary interest. It's not to say we don't have any interest, but it's not the primary one. We're really looking at job creation, company creation. How do we then keep and keep talent here in Pennsylvania?
So job creation here in Pennsylvania.
Absolutely.
So for instance, if John and I had the same idea, but he's looking at employing 500 people worldwide, and I'm looking at employing 500 people right here in Lancaster, that would kind of give me more points than John? Is that kind of what we're getting at?
I think that's absolutely
and
the case.
For us, it certainly would be. Maybe for other investors, it may not be, but for us, it certainly is.
Well, and that's a huge point, isn't it? Because every VC has a different profile. So that's part of your profile, is you're looking for PA job creation.
Yeah. Yes. And in addition to that, in addition to sort of what we're looking for in terms of those metrics around Pennsylvania and the economic development here in Pennsylvania, we are also looking to say, do you have a product, do you have a service that you understand who your customer is? You know, we really try to understand this. Like I said earlier, there's no shortage of ideas out there, and we encourage people to think and brainstorm and dream big. But we also encourage them, and we push them very hard, entrepreneurs very hard, to say, do you understand who you could sell this to? You know, we look at very sort of three basic things. What problem are you solving, or what need are you meeting? What's your product or solution, and how does it meet that need or solve that problem? And then who's going to open up their wallet and pay for that? I mean, those are fundamentals, and I know they sound very obvious, but sometimes entrepreneurs, in their excitement about their idea, sort of skip over some of those key parts that we really need to understand. And those are some of the things that John talked about in terms of the homework that we give them. Or what we're really looking from them is to demonstrate that they understand who they're selling to. Do they have any evidence that there is a market for their product or service?
And to that point, you know, does Ben Franklin have a profile? Are you looking at concepts, or are you looking at people that have a revenue stream? I mean, is there a black and white answer to that question, or how do you evaluate those?
I don't think it's black and white. I think that as Steve mentioned, we're looking at three or four different kind of criteria. If there's a concept at really the idea stage, but we're extremely excited about it, we suspect, you know, we have a saying in our office, is this a solution looking for a problem? If we are convinced that, in that case, it would be a kind of a negative, that we're not convinced there's demand for this. But if somebody comes to us with a concept that's really exciting and we believe that it would really solve a problem in the marketplace, then we can probably get behind it pretty early. And then maybe if we're a little bit less excited about the concept, but we really believe in the team, that's probably something where we're, you know, coming in a little bit later. They've put some money into it, and it's progressed a little bit more.
Yeah, and sometimes we say, you know, sometimes if we don't express an interest in funding a company right away, we try to sort of use the mantra, it's not a no, it's just a not yet, because we want to help them continue to work through that process of developing their idea, their solution, their market.
Hmm. How about some success stories? So I'm getting what you're saying. You're finding these innovative teams. You're finding these good ideas. You're providing funding. You're providing help and expertise. So help us understand, what does that look like for some successful companies?
Yeah, so we have a very recent example at our last board meeting in September. We had a company come in and do a presentation because they had just hired their 100th employee. This is a company in State College that we were among the first financing people into. Really benefited from the ecosystem that we're a part of up in State College. Has grown very rapidly. They provide monitoring and sensors for industrial equipment. And so think about the oil and gas industry. There's a lot of infrastructure out there that right now people have to go out and check. But with the technology that these guys have, you can put sensors on it and get a sense of the quality of the infrastructure and where it's at. And so that excites us. Back to job creation, when one of our company creates 100 jobs, that's extremely exciting to us.
Can we unpack that one a little bit?
Yeah.
Just talk about everything that you guys provided for them. How much money? What were divisions of expertise? You know, can you just tell me a little bit more about what you provided?
Yeah, so I don't remember exactly the amount, but typically we're going in for a company that over 2 to 3 years we believe in and we continue to support. That's about $350,000 to $500,000.
Okay.
And that is milestoned and tranched over a number of different touches. So we're not giving anybody all of that up front.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was, so we actually have a center called the Shale Gas Innovation and Commercialization Center. Because the gas industry is such a large part of Pennsylvania, that we have two guys that have a lot of industrial connections in that industry, Bill Hall and John Siggins, and they help that company apply their technology to that industry. And one of the things that the CEO testified to was how much help that was, and some of their larger customers have come out of that network. So, you know, Steve, you were talking about how important our mentoring is to the capital, but I actually think right alongside of that is the network that over 30 years we have created with both different industries, investors, mentors that are not maybe formal parts of our network. I think the network is a huge part of it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And, you know, thinking about success stories, you don't have to go much farther than, you know, I was involved in a startup here in Lancaster in 2004. And in 2005 and 2006, Ben Franklin funded our company. That company went on. I took over CEO in 2010. And in 2013, we were acquired by a PE-backed firm out of D.C. And after we were acquired, the acquiring company moved all of their customer service from around the country, around the United States, and even brought in from Canada, and moved them to right here in Lancaster.
So you work for these guys now because you've seen it work for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Firsthand.
Yeah, actually, you know, when we thought about the story and what we wanted to see more of in Lancaster was how can we find more of these opportunities, not just from creating companies and not just from creating jobs, but from seeing success and then allowing success to build on success. And so when I came to a point where I was sort of looking, say, how do I make my next investment in Lancaster? Ben Franklin and I began to talk. Actually, today is my 2-year anniversary with Ben Franklin.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
So,
let's come back to Lancaster for a minute, because I moved here about 25 years ago too, and I've seen the town transform itself. Mm-hmm. It got past this kind of post-industrial heritage, Armstrong, big manufacturing. You know, we all saw the that massive plant behind Franklin and Marshall actually get taken down. We've seen that land be transformed by the hospital and the college. So clearly the town has just had some wonderful development and transformation. But what ingredients do you see here in Lancaster that have enabled this to happen and that enable continued innovation to happen?
Yeah, I think some of it started with what you just said. I think some of it was just getting beyond, you know, when I moved here, the city was, it needed some work. That's the point, maybe put it lightly. And I think we all, sort of everyone, a part of the Lancaster community, needed to get over Armstrong being, you know, downsizing a lot and other industries sort of fading away. And we needed to turn around and look at ourselves and say, okay, what are we going to do about it? And that started with, the revitalization of Lancaster. And I think this is, I don't want to say the tail end of it, because I like to think that we're going to go for a lot longer. Mm-hmm. But I think this idea of this technical innovation, startup, entrepreneurship community is partly being fostered by sort of the gig economy. We have a lot of independent contractors doing a lot of work. Some, you know, we have Facebook employees right here in Lancaster. We have Google employees right here in Lancaster. We have cybersecurity employees right here in Lancaster. So some of that's being empowered by that. And all those folks also have brilliant ideas about ideas and things that we can do. Obviously, we know technology is permeating everything that we do. And so when you combine a number of those factors, I think Lancaster is perfectly sort of positioned. And I say it's not as if it's happening right now. It's been happening for years already in Lancaster. But now I know a number of organizations here are working, we're all working together to say, how do we capitalize on where we're really at? As much as we have a vibrant food community and entertainment community and the arts community, we also have a sort of a growing innovation and entrepreneurship community as well. And that's what we're, as Ben Franklin, what we're trying to really come alongside of, and not lead it per se, but really come alongside those who are doing the work.
So one of the more public things that I've seen Ben Franklin do is the big idea contest. And so you know, I think John, you're saying is anytime I want to call up Steve and pitch my idea or get involved with him, I can do that. But let's just talk about the big pitch, how that came to be. When does it happen? Take us through what the big pitch is and how it works.
Yeah, so that is our way of shaking the tree in a market and seeing what apples fall down. That's our way of trying to figure out what's out there. And so what we typically do is publicize that there is some amount of money available. Typically, it's about $35,000. And that we're seeking business plans, idea stage concepts for commercial plans. And so inevitably, that brings people out of the woodwork. There is an application process. There's a judging process that our staff is involved in internally, winnowing those down into five or six finalists. And then we get usually a panel of community judges that do not include us to then at a big event, which we had recently here in Lancaster, to then pick winners and assign dollar amounts for what they won. And the winner here in Lancaster was a company called New Digs. And do you want to say a little bit about
that? Sure, yeah. New Digs is a company that's bringing sort of a new spin on real estate in terms of how to transact real estate. And so they won that big idea contest. But interestingly, they also had won another thing that we run, and which is a good segue into what we're doing now here in Lancashire. So John kind of tipped our hand at the secret. The secret is we run a big idea contest, like you said, to shake the apples out of the trees. And then it gives us an opportunity to look and say, okay, there are entrepreneurs and there are startups here in Lancaster that we need to sort of work with. So we took some of those and we then sort of segued that into an 8-week accelerator program, which is where we're actually running right now. We have 8 entrepreneurs, 8 startups that meet every Thursday right now and have homework out throughout the week that we're working with for 8 weeks. And that program is to help them go through a number of the things that we've been talking about, help them understand the problem or the need, help them understand their solution, help them craft and understand a market. And so we've been working with them. That's an 8-week program. At the end, we sort of have a graduation, a finale, a celebration, which will actually be on November 15th at the Candy Factory here in Lancaster. But it's great because we get to take those, you know, really idea stage companies and help them go through a sort of a mini training process that helps them understand all the components necessary to sort of have as successful as an opportunity possible in their startup.
And I would argue it's kind of like shining the bat light into the air, because I feel like there's some coverage in the newspaper and people understand a little bit more who you are. Now, look, I'm going to ask you guys a hard question. We don't mean to be controversial, but I am curious. I was personally a little bit surprised when New Digs won, only because I didn't see a job creation story, and I think you could even make the argument that they might, you know, theoretically hurt some realtors. So, you know, just talk me through that, or maybe it was because you guys didn't judge it, or maybe they had other job creation there. Can you talk about New Digs a little bit more and how it relates to what you told us earlier about job creation?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair point, but we're in the future business at Ben Franklin. Our job is to worry about the future. Okay, there would be lots of other folks in economic development that have other areas of focus, but we are focused on the future. And what is critically important that Ben Franklin delivers for this Commonwealth is that the companies and jobs we are creating are relevant to the future, that Pennsylvania remains competitive in industries of the future. And to me, that is a huge value add to the economy. Mm-hmm. And so I use the word disruptive before, but the fact of the matter is that is the nature of innovation. Mm-hmm. And it changes industries and disruption occurs. And I would be the last person to say we would ever embrace the result of people losing their jobs.
Right.
The way we think about it is it creates new opportunities.
And I would agree.
And one more thing about New Digs in particular, and I do work with them. You know, New Digs is not, you know, New Digs specifically is looking at bringing technology to a part of the market that wants to embrace sort of a new way of doing real estate. There already is a segment of folks who say, you know, I kind of think I want to do real estate a little bit differently. But this in no way, there's the utmost respect for the existing real estate agent market and the profession. But there's also a segment that we know wants to sort of embrace. And, you know, it's always challenging to incorporate new technologies, especially into existing businesses.
Absolutely.
Or existing business models.
Yep.
And so
he's focused on the for sale by owner market. which so is typically not using a lot of realtors anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, John, you said you're in the future business. I love that expression.
That's awesome.
But let me bring this around, because Marcus and I are in the marketing business. And this being a marketing podcast, talk a little bit about marketing as it relates to new enterprises getting off the ground.
Yeah, well, I'm the finance guy, so I'm going to turn that over to Steve, who is going to give a much better answer.
Well, okay. You know, I look and I say this, and I can say this, and I say this not just because I'm sitting in front of a couple seasoned professional, the best marketers that I've ever known.
But, the check cleared.
But, you know, any company, I can certainly say for any, but especially for startups, you know, they have an idea. They love it. They want everyone to look at their idea and tell them how nice and pretty their baby is, sort of thing. But then comes the real hard work of you have an idea. It's been birthed to some degree, but now you need to get out into the market. And you have some assumptions about who's going to buy it and how they're going to hear about it and all those things. And really what it comes down to, and many of the companies that we work with, their biggest area of struggle is understanding the best way to market their idea, their product, their service. And that's where folks like you, and to be honest with you, you know, you guys are the professionals at this. You know, I think I understand, you know, company leadership. I understand getting startups off the ground. I understand funding of them. And certainly when we work with companies, we're trying to help them, you know, not only help them develop or think through their marketing plan, but then also to work with folks like you who do have the expertise, who know how to, you know, right now, every company that I talk with, I ask what's their marketing strategy, and the answer is almost reflexively social media, you know, social networking, and that's what I'm going to leverage. And I know that not only is that answer needs to be nuanced, which ones you're going to use, how you're going to use them, etc., but it also doesn't mean that direct marketing is dead. It doesn't mean that certain other marketing channels are dead, TV, print. So those are the kinds of things that we're encouraging our companies to do. Make sure you're engaging with someone who understands marketing, who understands the struggles of a small company. You know, not every small company can afford a very large marketing budget. So
right.
They also have to engage with marketers who understand that and say, I need to make the penny go as far as it can in terms of my marketing dollars. And so it's a huge area with us, because you may have a great idea, and without successful marketing that can get at that target, get at the customer that they've said that they believe is that's their market. If we can't get there, I've seen too many companies falter because of that.
But I'm really glad there's guys like you who can evaluate the idea, because I had a mentor once say, nothing kills a bad product faster than great marketing. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, Steve, what you just said, I think, is the foundation of some very solid marketing. The core idea being, look at the product through the customer's eyes and figure out what problem you're trying to solve and who needs that problem solved. I mean, that's sort of the, you know, 101 of marketing, but everything kind of flows out of that.
I want to ask you guys a question that I find a lot of startup entrepreneurs have. And, you know, some people wonder, well, should I even take on VC funding, or should I bootstrap it? So we've got the professionals here. How do I decide whether or not I should get into the VC business, or whether I should just, you know, do it organically? How do you make that decision?
Well, look, if you can grow your business without venture capital, you should definitely do that. Venture capital is very expensive. You lose a significant amount of control. And in many ways, it's a necessary evil in the tech business. There are a lot of great venture capitalists who are good people, who are value add, and we know a lot of them and have been around long enough to kind of understand and know the difference between good and bad VC. But it's not necessarily the entrepreneur's friend.
And for the listener who's listening, go into that. Let's talk about why that is.
Well, at its most basic form, equity investment, which is what venture capital does, is an exchange of their cash for your ownership in the business. So you're selling a piece of your company.
Mm-hmm.
And typically in the early rounds, you could be selling 25 to 35% of your company. And they are assigning a value to the company. And, you know, in many cases, that's pretty arbitrary. And it could be selling the entrepreneur short in many cases. But the reason it exists, and it is a good thing for the American economy, something like 40% of the listed companies publicly were venture-backed at one time.
Oh, that's an interesting stat.
It is a tiny amount of finance in the U.S. economy, but the results are enormous for job creation and wealth creation. But You know, the entrepreneur is trading away a lot because they need the cash to grow the business. And
one of the things I asked a seasoned tech guy that I know who had worked for a VC firm and had also been a builder in a startup. And I said to him one time, I said, would you do VC funding? And he said, I would only do VC funding if I had to scale fast, which I think plays into the technology piece. So lots of times when you guys are getting involved, it's because companies feel like they need speed to market to grow quickly. Is that correct?
Yes, and that's very much the Silicon Valley model. I mean, they are identifying companies that are truly disruptive and could grab $1 billion in sales really quickly. And so that's where you see the, okay, you've come to me for $500,000, but what could you do with $5 million? Could you go a lot faster? And so, you know, you see that with that. That's how Uber was financed. That's how a lot of these really disruptive companies, they are grabbing market share as fast as they can with, you know, what is incredibly generous funding.
So it relates to that particular company's goals. So that's how you make that decision on whether or not
it's strategic almost.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of steps between, let's say, very, you know, funding it yourself, bootstrapping a venture yourself. And there are a number of steps before you might get to traditionally what we define as VC, you know, things that equity investing at amounts of 500,000, 5 million, 10 million. There's friends and family. There is, you know, certainly your own finances. There are angel investors, of which there are here in central Pennsylvania. There are active angel investment groups.
So I'm going to assume, Steve, that when you were a customer, you probably explored a lot of those options. So as somebody who has looked at all those options, how does Ben Franklin position itself, or from your experience, what was Ben Franklin better at or different at, you know, compared to your other options?
Yeah, sure. So we, at the time when we were raising money back in the day, we, you know, were able to, you know, raise friends and family money, so they contributed to the company, and that was good. But when it came time for, I'll call it a significant investment, you know, in terms of millions, mm-hmm. There really wasn't a lot of options that were here in the Lancaster area. There certainly, and anyone who talked to us, we were encouraged to move to the West Coast or move to New York or Boston, that there would be many more opportunities there. But at the time, we were committed to Lancaster. We were committed to specifically even just the city. And so we ended up finding a San Francisco investor, investment fund, who invested us. But that was, and they allowed us to stay here in Lancaster. So the experience is, it's challenging to find capital here in Lancaster. It's not impossible, certainly. And that's where Ben Franklin does want to begin to help not only provide funding for early stage ideas, but also to make those kind of connections, which is what John.
Which is John's job, right? Yeah.
And that environment is changing. The good news is things are better than they were even 5 years ago. There is a new, very active angel group in York called MI12. They were founded about 3 years ago. Through some connections that we made, they now have a burgeoning node in Lancaster. With a group of doctors, and that is continuing to grow. We actually, Ben Franklin, seeded the creation of a new venture capital fund called 1855 Capital that is named after the founding year of Penn State and targets its investments in the Penn State community. But because Ben Franklin is affiliated with Penn State, all of our companies qualify, and therefore everybody we work with in Lancaster would qualify. So that's a new resource. We're seeing another fund getting started in Altoona, of all places. There's an angel group node in Erie. So things are happening to, you know, our job is to create the connective tissue that brings all of this together. Because the other thing about equity financing is often it's syndicated. There mm-hmm. is not just one investor providing all the capital. So I think that the outlook and the picture for the future in Lancaster and Central PA is pretty good.
There's also, you know, there's a number of other individual investors as well. There's actually a very active individual investor in central Pennsylvania that has been making investments. And even one of their investments moved a significant portion of their staff from New York City to Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
How about that?
So, I mean, these are exciting things that I look and I say, even though it's perhaps more challenging than it is in New York and Boston and San Francisco or the West Coast,
It's doable here. It might just take, and that's where organizations like Ben Franklin and other angel groups, et cetera, try to sort of stir that up a little bit.
And it sounds like, so John, your job then would also involve that second stage. So let's say Steve finds a great idea. You guys are both on board, but for whatever reason, Ben Franklin can only invest $200,000, but they need $1 million. So you would kind of reach out almost on their behalf to more traditional sources of funding?
Yeah, I'm not quite an investment banker, but I'm very much trying to sell their opportunity to investors. And we don't just look in Central PA. For instance, I'm in Philadelphia at least once a quarter because there's a lot of angel investors there. And we've had a number of successes with getting some money from Philadelphia. In fact, we just took a Lancaster company to what we deem a super angel, a ultra high net worth individual who invests $1 to $5 million per month into new companies. We had a Lancaster company just pitch in front of him recently. So, you know, we're trying to import capital into central Pennsylvania from anywhere. We'll take it from anywhere.
Wow, this is exciting. I mean, I think about the steps that Lancaster has made over the time that I've been here, and to hear you guys talk about funding where Lancaster goes from here is very exciting.
It is. I'm curious, how does Pennsylvania compare to other states? Does everyone have a Ben Franklin? I assume they don't call it Ben Franklin because we call him our own here. But you know, how does Pennsylvania compare to other states? Are we better than others? Are we worse than others? How would you say?
So there's absolutely no question that we were the first to develop something like that. And this is so it was Governor Thornburgh. I don't know if you remember. He was both governor of Pennsylvania and then attorney general of the U.S. Mm-hmm. under President Reagan. But it was Governor Thornburgh who created this public-private partnership, which we very much are, mm-hmm. and this interesting way of commercializing technologies by creating these small seed funds. And we were definitely the first in the nation. And there has been a number of states that have created their own forms of this, but there is now, it's not an industry, but there's now sort of a trade group. And the term is venture development organization.
Okay.
That's what we are. And there is now a national network of those types of organizations. And we actually talk to each other all the time. In fact, I was on the phone with a one in Cincinnati the other day because we have a Fortune 500 company in our footprint that wants to start a corporate venture group. They reached out to us, said, "Do you guys have any templates that we could use?" We reached out to our network. And so that ultimately, if that gets going, that will drive success of the local companies throughout our footprint.
I had no idea Governor Thornburgh is to thank for this, John.
The great governor. Now, Marcus, are you glad that we had Ben Franklin in today?
I could not be any happier, and it's probably better to have two very very much living guys than a great old dead Ben.
Right.
Now,
right.
If people want to learn more, John, about Ben Franklin Tech, I'm guessing you guys have a website or two, right?
Yeah. We do. It's CNP, Central and Northern Pennsylvania, cnp.benfranklin.org.
Yeah, okay. So we've been talking with Ben Franklin Technology Partners. We've been talking with Steve Faithful. We've been talking with John Sider. And this has been incredible. This feels like sort of putting a capstone on the marketing discussions that we've been having over the last year, because you're talking about the capital that could drive some of these companies to the next level. It's very exciting. So that about brings us to the end of the show today.
It surely does, John, as well as the end of season two, correct? We've got a... You and I had this traditional idea of seasons when we were starting, and
you're assuming that I know offhand how many shows we've recently produced, which I don't. But okay, I'll take your word for it.
This is definitely the end of season two, but knowing us, season three could come back in 2 weeks or 2 months.
Yeah, all right. Well, you've been listening to Marketing with Walker and Graham, the show about marketing specifically for businesses in central Pennsylvania, and we've had the privilege of talking with two representatives of the Ben Franklin Technology Partners. As a reminder, the 8-week accelerator program that they have is going to be ending on November 15th with an event at the Candy Factory, so stay tuned for that. And to hear all of our shows, subscribe at Google Play, iTunes, or visit us at LNP Media Group. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.